let's continue on now. Exploration of how TCP works in terms of congestion control.
That is,
how does our computer that is sending data into the internet maintain its sending speed, the sending rate, such that it doesn't cause congestion in the internet? Some of the things that we know. The things that we need to know about TCP congestion is, how does the sender control its sending rate? And we know that we use a concept called a congestion window. And that determines how many bytes we can send in some period of time. How does the TCP sender know that there's congestion in the internet? Well, it assumes packet losses indicate congestion. And what's the way at which it responds to congestion? And that's the congestion control algorithm that we're going to go through. So as we go through this algorithm, let's record some assumptions that we've made or that we've covered so far. One of the congestion indicator that our TCP source uses, your sending computer, is packet loss. That is, if we send packets and we determine that they are lost, they don't get to the destination, somewhere in the internet they are lost, we use that as an indicator that there is congestion in the internet or increased congestion. We mentioned there are, in fact, two in TCP, there are two indicators of packet loss. One is when we have a timeout. And the other is three duplicate acts. I send some packets. After sending a packet, I wait for a particular amount of time. If I don't receive an ACK within that time, I assume that packet was lost. So that's a loss due to a timeout event. And I therefore assume that congestion has increased, and I'll respond accordingly. But there's another case. In TCP, because sometimes timeouts are very long, I may send many packets and have to wait a long time before I realize there's a loss. So there's this extra mechanism. I send many packets and I keep getting acknowledgements saying, or keep getting acknowledgements with acknowledgement numbers which are duplicates. They're the same value. That indicates that I've sent some packets and the receiver has missed at least one of those packets. That is, it didn't get there. And therefore, when I receive three duplicate acknowledgements, or four ACKs with the same ACK number, then I assume that one of those, or I assume that indicates a packet loss. And again, I'll respond by reducing my sending rate. We will see shortly that the response differs depending on which event. Conversely, if we treat packet loss as an indicator of increased congestion, as we receive ACKs, that is no packet loss, packets get successfully delivered, we use that as an indicator of reduced congestion. And we'll send faster. So we try to maintain our sending rate so it's fast enough so that we can deliver packets quickly, but slow enough such that we don't cause congestion on the internet. And remember, that's just one computer. If this is our internet, made up of many routers connected together, each computer, each host running TCP is applying this algorithm. So everyone is doing this. Everyone is controlling their sending rate such that overall we want to maintain the network capacity so that we don't get congestion. That's the goal. So everyone is sending in. Of course, it's going to differ depending on where we are in the network. There may be congestion around this area, which it may cause these to slow down, whereas these may be still sending at a higher speed. Depends on the network topology and the number of computers. So these are our assumptions that TCP makes. What else do we assume? We have, or some other concepts, we have two things that control the sending rate of the TCP source. That's the both flow control and congestion control. Flow control is controlled by the recipient telling the sender how fast it's allowed to send, such that the sender doesn't overflow the buffer at the receiver. That's not congestion control, that's flow control. That is performed by, as we went through last week, the sender sends packets to the receiver. In the AX, there's a window field. The value of this window field coming back tells the sender the amount, the maximum amount it's allowed to send such that it doesn't overflow the receiver. That's flow control. At the source, this value that it receives, let's call this window that's stored at the source as the advertised window. Sometimes we'll abbreviate that to AWND. The advertised window. This is for flow control. For congestion control, we have a congestion window, CWND. And the size of this parameter at the source depends on what the receiver tells us. So the receiver controls this parameter. The value of the congestion window is controlled by the algorithm that we're about to go through. So there's an algorithm that runs on the source which increases and decreases this depending upon these events. Increase this if we receive X. Decrease this if we have a packet loss. That's the concept. Some other things that we'll just make note of in the examples that I go through. We have a maximum segment size. And in our examples, I'll usually set that to 1,000 bytes. To keep things simple, when we send one TCP segment, let's say it has 1,000 bytes of data. Of course, it can be different. And when I send source to destination, it takes some time to get there and to get back. The total time is the round trip time. And in the examples that I'll use, I will assume the round trip time is fixed. It doesn't change over the duration of the connection. And give a number to it. We'll say 100 milliseconds. But just for an example. So, we send some TCP segments containing data. The number that we can send before we have to wait for an ACK is determined by these two values at the source. The value of the advertised window and the value of the congestion window. And we use the minimum of the two. So if this is 16,000 bytes, and this is 10,000 bytes, at this point in time, we're allowed to send no more than 10,000 bytes, the minimum of those two. 10,000 bytes if we have a maximum segment size of 1,000 means 10 segments. I could send 10 segments out. Then I have to wait for an acknowledgement to come back. And it's going to take the round trip time for the first ACK to come back. So it's like sending 10 segments out, waiting 100 milliseconds for the first ACK to come back, and then I can send more. So we'll see that the sending rate, which is what we want to control, depends upon the window size, the minimum of these two, and the round trip time. Actually, go back. So, how does the congestion window change over time? What's the algorithm for increasing and decreasing this? Well, it has different components. Additive increase, multiplicative decrease is one stage. Slow start is another stage. And how do you react to loss events? How do you react to these two events is the other thing that we need to describe. So first, if everything's okay, we receive ACKs, which is an indicator of reduced congestion or no congestion, then TCP will try and increase its sending rate. Because we don't know what is the sending rate that's going to cause congestion, we don't know what it is, because to know the capacity of the network and know what everyone else is sending is very complex. So the idea is, if you receive ACKs successfully, that's an indicator that everything's okay, no or reduced congestion. Therefore, let's try sending a little bit faster. Increase our sending rate and keep increasing until we get to a point where we start to get an indicator of congestion. And then we'll slow down again. So it's this dynamic, increasing our sending rate until congestion occurs, slow down, increase, slow down, and so on. So the way to increase is called additive increase. It's a linear increase in the sending rate, a slow increase in the sending rate. The idea is that the sender will try to increase its congestion window by one segment, or one maximum segment, every round trip time. So if the current value of the congestion window was 10,000 bytes, or 10 maximum segments, then the idea is that if we keep receiving ACKs, every round trip time increased by one maximum segment. So the idea is that in the additive increase stage, if the congestion window was 10,000 bytes at some point in time, as we receive an ACK in this stage, we'd like to, so at the initial point in time it's 10,000, 100 milliseconds later, if we've received ACKs, okay, we'd like to increase that to 11,000. And after another 100 milliseconds, so at time zero, it's this value, 100 milliseconds later, increase, and then increase to 12,000. And so on. How did I get these numbers? Just as an example, let's say at time zero, our current congestion window is 10,000 bytes. In additive increase, the aim is to increase by one maximum segment every round trip time. Our round trip time is 100 milliseconds. Our maximum segment size is 1,000 bytes. So every 100 milliseconds, increase by 1,000 bytes. 10,000, 11,000, 12,000, 13,000, and so on. That's the aim of increasing the window in the additive increase phase. One way to implement that, or to make the implementation of such an algorithm easy, is to, when you send data segments, every time you receive an ACK, increase the window according to this algorithm. This approach, the objective is to increase every round trip time. But in practice, the round trip time varies, and it's hard to know what the round trip time will be. So a common way to implement this is using this algorithm. What it says is, every time I receive an ACK, take the old value or the current value of the congestion window and increase it by this amount, which is MSS squared divided by the congestion window current value, old value. That is, take the old value and increase it by this amount for every ACK received. Let's see how it works. Why this algorithm approximates what we're aiming to achieve here of increasing by one every round trip time. In our example, we have 10,000 bytes as the current value of the congestion window. Maximum size is 1,000, which means we're allowed to send 10 segments. Okay, that's what it means here. We can send 10 maximum sized segments. So we transmit those 10. You don't have to draw this. Let's say we have 10 segments here transmitted. This is just showing the transmission. And in most cases, the transmission time is going to be very small. The propagation and queuing time in the internet is going to be significant compared to the transmission time. So instead of drawing the 10 packets being transmitted, I'll just show it as something like this. Here's 10 segments being transmitted, and it takes some time for all of them to propagate and for the ACKs to come back. In fact, there'll be the first segment, the second, and so on, and the first ACK would come back. So I'm not going to draw all 10, but we send 10 segments, wait for the ACKs for those 10 segments to come back. Why do we send 10? Because our current window allows us to send 10 maximum size segments.
So, let's see what happens as the ACKs come back, how our congestion window increases.
We send 10 segments. We receive the first ACK. What happens? Using this algorithm, we take the old value of the congestion window. The new value will be the old value, 10,000, plus the maximum segment size squared. Maximum segment size is 1,000. 1,000 squared would be 1 million. Divided by the old value. 1 million divided by 10,000 is 100. So it would equal 10,100. After we've sent 10 segments, when we receive the first ACK, using this algorithm, would increase the congestion window to 10,100. Then, shortly after, we'll receive the next ACK. Because we sent 10 segments, we're receiving an ACK for each segment, we'll receive the next ACK acknowledgement. And we calculate again. We take the old value, 10,100, plus
1 million divided by 10,100. I'm not going to calculate that. And we'd get the new value. This is from the first ACK received. This is from the second ACK received. And then we're going to receive another 8 ACKs because we've sent 10 segments. It's as if we send 10 segments all within a short period of time. We receive 10 acknowledgements all within a short period of time. After receiving the first, we increase the window to 10,100. The second will be increased to whatever the answer is here. We'd have to calculate for the third, same approach, using this algorithm. This will be, I don't know, 10,000, close to 10,200. Not exactly. 1 million divided by 10,100 is 90-something. Because 1 million divided by 10,000 is 100, divided by 10,100 is 90-something. I don't know what. So it will be 10,190, which is close to 10,200. We keep doing that for the third ACK, the fourth, up to the tenth ACK. And we'll get the congestion window after receiving the 10th ACK will be close to, approximately equal to, 11,000. It won't be 11,000, it'll be less than 11,000, but approximately 11,000. Which is approximately this value. That's what we're trying to achieve. And all of this happened in one round trip time. Or approximately one round trip time. That's why not everything is exact here. What we do is we send 10 segments. They take some time to get there. Take some time to get back. But because the time to transmit is much less than the time to propagate and get across the internet, then most of the round trip time is to get there and to get back. The transmission time is very small. Therefore, approximately, to transmit 10 and receive 10 ACKs is about one round trip time. In fact, to transmit 1 and receive an ACK is one round trip time. But to transmit the next 1 and receive an ACK is just takes a little bit extra time. So, transmitting 10 and receiving 10 ACKs is a little bit larger than one round trip time, but approximately one round trip time. So what's happened, we've sent 10 segments in one round trip time and received 10 acknowledgements. Using this algorithm, increasing the window every ACK received, we've increased it 10 times. And you can follow these steps through and you'll see that with this algorithm, after the 10th ACK, the window will be about 11,000. So in approximately one round trip time, we've increased the window from 10,000 to 11,000. We now can send 11 segments because our window is 11,000. Maximum segment size 1,000. We send 11 segments. Transmit them. Get 11 ACKs back, and we'll see that after about one round trip time, the window will go up to 12,000. The best way to make sure you understand that or believe that is to try an example and do the calculations all the way through. I think I have one to show you. But to believe that that algorithm will increase by about 1,000 every round trip time, the best way is to do the calculations yourself. And you'll see that it's not exactly, but it's approximate.
find an example. Actually, I don't have an example here, but we'll calculate for you. Let's quickly do those calculations, or some of those calculations. That is, we started with 10,000 bytes. Zoom in. We started with 10,000 bytes. When we received an ACK, the window went up to the previous value, 10,000, plus the maximum segment size, which is 1,000. 1,000 times 1,000 divided by the previous value. That is, here's my equation, which says that the original value, 10,000 bytes, the next time we receive an ACK, we'll take the previous value, 10,000, plus maximum segment size, 1,000 squared, divided by the previous value. So the first ACK we receive, so that's after the first ACK. After the second ACK, we apply the same algorithm, and you see it's almost 1,200. Apply it again, the third ACK, the fourth. After the tenth ACK, using this algorithm, the congestion window will be 10,958, which is close to 11,000. That's the idea there. It's just an easy way to implement to achieve the aim of increasing by 1,000, or a maximum segment size, every round trip time. Because in the one round trip time, we've sent 10 segments, we've received 10, and therefore increased the window up to this value. So that's additive increase. It's the concept of additive increase as well as one way to implement that at the sender. So all your TCP sender does, receive an ACK, calculate the new window size using that algorithm every time it receives an ACK. Any questions on that before we move on to the multiplicative decrease? So a slow increase in the sending rate. Yep. Sorry. Congestion window, the value CWND, the congestion window, is a parameter at our source computer. That, as well as the advertise window, control how many bytes we're allowed to send before we have to wait for an ACK. Remember back to basic flow control mechanisms, we have a sliding window which controls how many bytes we can send before we can receive an ACK. This is all it's doing. This is two parameters at our source. We take the minimum of these two and use that to determine how many bytes I'm allowed to send. So that's what's happened here. If the value of the congestion window was 10,000,
and that was a minimum of the two, say advertised window was 100,000, this is the minimum, it means at this point in time, the maximum number of bytes I'm allowed to transmit is 10,000. Okay, my maximum segment size is 1,000, so what I do is take 10,000 bytes of data, put it into 10 different segments, send segment 1, 2, 3, 4, up to segment 10. Quickly send those 10 segments, transmit them. They, of course, propagate across the internet, get to the receiver. 10 ACKs come back, all within a close period of time. That is, we send them in a short period of time. The ACKs all come back immediately after each other. Every time I receive an ACK, increase my window. So we'll come to what's the initial value in a moment, but it's just a parameter at your source computer. It has an initial value. Let's say the initial value was 1,000. If the initial value was 1,000, it means we can send one segment. We get an ACK back, we increase it. And we send more segments. We get ACKs back, we increase. And we keep increasing in this linear manner. So approximately every round trip time increased by one segment size. We'll come to the initial value shortly. So that's increasing, yep. Where does this formula come from? This is the objective. The goal is to slowly increase the sending rate. Because we don't know what level of sending is going to cause congestion, we want to send as fast as possible, but we don't want to cause congestion. So what we do is we slowly increase the sending rate until we start to have packet loss. So this is the goal, is to increase one maximum segment size every round trip time. But how do we implement that at the sender? What's an easy way to implement that? Well, round trip time varies over time, in fact. In this example, I've kept it fixed, but in reality, it varies. So one way to approximate this is using this algorithm. So people have come up with this algorithm which approximates this approach. By instead of increasing every round trip time, increase every time we receive an ACK. Send a segment, receive an ACK, increase. Such that it's very close to this. You can check with this algorithm. It becomes a series because we're just adding on every time we take a value, and it's close to this. Not estimating the round trip time, that's a different thing. All we're doing at this stage is assuming the round trip time is fixed. There are other ways to estimate the round trip time. In reality, the round trip time varies over time. In our example, let's assume it's fixed, just to keep the calculations easy. So, as I showed in that spreadsheet, every time you receive an ACK, if you receive 10 ACKs and apply this algorithm 10 times, you would end up with approximately this value. If you send 11 segments and apply that algorithm 11 times from here, you'll get approximately 12,000, and so on. Any other questions? Okay, that's when everything's okay, when our ACKs come back. What happens when we lose packets? Well, that indicates congestion. One mechanism is multiplicative decrease. For each loss detected, halve the window. Decrease the window. So if the window was 10,000 and you detect one packet loss, cut it down to 5,000. Which reduces your sending rate. rapidly compared to the increase. This is additive or a linear increase. This is a multiplicative decrease or an exponential decrease, much faster decrease. Of course, we do not decrease the window to less than the minimum value. And the minimum is usually one maximum segment size. So this comes to what is the initial value of the congestion window. In this example, I gave a 10,000. In practice, we normally start with 1,000 or one maximum segment size. So the initial value of CWND is one maximum segment. We increase it while we receive ACKs. If we detect a packet loss, we decrease it. And the way we decrease is cut in half until we get down to the one maximum segment size again. Now, we'll see an extension of that shortly, that there's a variation upon that. So it will look something like this over time. If over time this is the size of our window, at some point in time, whatever the value is here, maybe 14,000, while we receive ACKs, we increase the window according to what we went through here. When a packet loss is detected, we halve the window from 16,000 down to 8,000 and then go back to increasing, receiving ACKs, decrease, one packet loss indicates halve the window again, then receiving ACKs okay, and so on. So we get this shape over time depending on when we have packets lost. So this is the linear or additive increase. This is the multiplicative decrease. What's the next case? So that's two mechanisms. Now there's a special case. When we start our connection, instead of using additive increase to start at the start of the connection, there's an extra mechanism called slow start, or the slow start phase. So I connect to the destination computer. What do I do, or what speed do I send at? Well, because my computer doesn't know how much congestion is in the internet, we start at the slowest rate. So the slowest rate is to set the congestion window to one maximum segment size. Send one segment out onto the internet. I should receive one ACK. Then I will increase my window so I can send more segments. Using additive increase, that can be a very slow increase in the sending rate. So let's say the capacity of my network would allow me to send 50 segments at a time, per round trip time. If I used additive increase, the first round trip time I can send one segment, the next round trip time I can send two segments, and then three segments, and four segments. I'll keep going with additive increase. After 50 round trip times, I can send 50 segments, which is the capacity. That takes a long time to get to a sending rate which reaches the optimal sending rate. So an idea to decrease the time it takes to reach this optimal sending rate is to use this what's called slow start phase. Instead of at the start of the connection sending with additive increase, send with a different mechanism called slow start. So at the start of a TCP connection, send at a slow rate. That slow rate is normally set the window to one maximum segment size. Instead of using additive increase to increase our window, use an exponential increase. Aim to double the window size every round trip time. The aim here was to increase by one maximum segment every round trip time. In slow start phase, the aim is to double the window every round trip time. So, again, looking at what the objective of this mechanism is, this was an example of additive increase. Every round trip time increased by 1,000 bytes. An example in the slow start phase, we start at the minimum, which is one maximum segment size, 1,000 bytes. Every round trip time, the objective is to double this value. So after 100 milliseconds, it should be 2,000. After 200, it should be 4,000. And after 300, 8,000. Both of these mechanisms are when we do not detect congestion. It's when we receive ACKs. It's the way that we increase our window. This is a slow increase. This is a fast increase. Now, don't be confused by the names. The name of this phase is called slow start. The name of this phase is called additive increase. But in fact, the increase here is faster than that one. The reason it's called slow start is because we start slowly but increase fastly. So the name can be confusing. The reason we use this is usually at the start of your connection, then you want to increase your sending rate as fast as possible so we reach the ideal sending rate. If we used additive increase, it could take a long time to reach a good sending rate. So if we combine these two, if this is time and this is our window size, we start with a sending rate of 1,000, or we start with a window of 1,000. We send our segments, one round trip time later, we'll increase it to 2,000. We send two segments, one round trip time later, we'll increase to 4,000, send four segments, and so on. So if we plot this, it's going to be some exponential increase, double. We only do this for a short or for a predefined period of time. At some stage, we'll stop using slow start and move back to the additive increase phase. And we'll get something like this. Well, that's the objective. Start of your connection, start slowly, quickly increase your sending rate until you reach some threshold value, and then slowly increase your sending rate. Of course, we still have responses to packet losses. We still have the multiplicative decrease, but we just haven't shown that. That's the objective in slow start, the way to implement slow start using this algorithm, or a way to implement. Every time we receive an ACK, take the current or the old window size, add one maximum segment size. Let's show that in another example. I'll show an example, again, from a spreadsheet which shows how this increases using these two phases.
Again, to keep things simple, I just use the fixed round-trip time. So we have two phases for increasing. We have slow start and additive increase. And we switch between them. That is, we start with slow start until our window reaches some threshold value. So we increase the window quickly until it reaches some threshold, some value here, which is called the slow start threshold value. And then once we reach that, we switch over to doing additive increase. Exponential increase, additive increase. So what we'll do is just show some data and a plot that illustrates that. Let's first look at the data. I've used a round trip time of 100, a maximum segment size of 1,000, a slow start threshold of 16,000. That means at the start, I'm going to use the slow start phase. Once my window reaches 16,000, I will switch over to additive increase. The advertised window, this value, is 24,000. Remember, we use the minimum of this and this. Initially, the congestion window is 1,000, so that will be the minimum. Let's just look at these two columns. This is every round trip time. One round trip time, the two round trip times, 10 round trip times. If we count in milliseconds, at time zero, at the start, my window is 1,000. I'm in slow start phase. One round trip time later, I want to increase my window to 2,000. I double it. Another round trip time later, double again. To 4,000, 8,000, 16,000. I've now reached the threshold. So from now on, I'm going to increase it in an additive manner. Another round trip time later, increase by one maximum segment size to 17,000, 18, 19, and so on. Until I reach 24,000. 24,000 is the advertised window. So the congestion window would go above 24,000, 25, 26, but the advertise is fixed at 24,000. The minimum of the two will now be the advertised window. So this is over time, each round trip time, and this is the ideal value of our window. Let's look at the plot that illustrates that. Just plotted those values over time. Window size, measured in bytes. We start at 1,000, we quickly increase this window size, then we have a linear or additive increase until we reach the advertised window. The advertised window is 24,000. That's our upper limit. We won't go above that. So that's when there's no congestion. You start your TCP connection to transfer data. You start with a small window, but quickly increase up to the threshold and then slowly increase up to the advertised window. Remember that the sending rate is proportional to the window size. Going back to the data, in this one, what have we said? The round trip time is 100 milliseconds. The window of 1,000 means within 100 milliseconds I can send 1,000 bytes.
So in the first 100 milliseconds at time zero, I get to send 1,000 bytes of data. So I can say during that period of time, my sending rate I sent 1,000 bytes divided by 100 milliseconds. Convert to bits. We don't have to, but let's convert to bits by 8. 8,000 divided by 100 is 80. And divided by milliseconds, so that's, what is it, 8,080. That would be 800 bits per second. I've listed here 80. Why? It's just the multiplier. In this case, I didn't use 100 milliseconds as the round trip time. 100 different time units. 8,000 divided by 100 is 80 units. If we ignore milliseconds, 80 something. If we don't specify whether it's milliseconds, microseconds, hundreds of milliseconds, then it's 8,000, the congestion window, divided by the round trip time is 80 time units. If it's milliseconds, then that's 80 bits per millisecond, or 800 bits per second. That's our sending rate for that period. The next time we can send 2,000 bytes in one round trip time. So our sending rate will be 160. You see that the sending rate is directly proportional to our congestion or our window size. So this was a plot of our window, but it was also a plot, the same shape, for our sending rate. And the idea is to control our sending rate. Start by sending slowly, rapidly increase your sending rate until you reach the threshold, and then have a slow increase of the sending rate. Until we have a packet loss. So now let's look at what happens when we have a packet loss. So that illustrates what we just showed on the spreadsheet. That's the size of the window increasing with the parameters that we've used. Slow start phase, additive increase, or also called congestion avoidance phase, reach the maximum. That's the sending rate. Exactly the same shape, because the sending rate is proportional to the window size. Just different units. That's when there's no loss, no packet loss. What happens when we lose packets? Well, packet loss, there are two events that indicate a packet loss. A timeout or retransmission due to three duplicate acts. And we respond differently depending upon them. When we have a packet loss, we reduce the congestion window. How do we reduce it? Depends upon whether it was a third duplicate ACK or a timeout. What's the difference between them? A timeout indicates, a third duplicate ACK indicates a packet has been lost, but some packets have been received. Whereas a timeout often indicates that multiple packets may have been lost, that there may be more congestion. Why? Let's go back to our retransmission scheme. just to remind us, we send multiple segments. If one of them is lost, the idea of the third duplicate ACK mechanism is that we'll receive ACKs and that these three will be duplicate values, the same value as this one. Because this one will be saying, I expect to receive segment 3. These three will also say, I expect to receive segment 3. They're duplicates of the first one. Indicates I need to retransmit, but also indicates congestion. And therefore we reduce our sending rate and our window. But it indicates that some of the packets have been successfully delivered. Because we receive some ACKs, most of our packets got through, but at least one was lost. Whereas with a timeout, if we don't receive the duplicate ACKs, let's say all those packets were lost, we sent 6, 2 were received, the next 4 were lost, then eventually we'd receive a timeout on that, actually on the third packet we sent. We sent the third packet, we haven't yet received an ACK, timeout, and then retransmit. In many cases, and retransmission due to a timeout indicates more congestion in the network than due to the third duplicate ACK mechanism. That is, if we detect a loss based on 3 duplicate ACKs, assume that there's some congestion in the internet and slow down. If we detect a loss due to a timeout, assume that there is more congestion in the internet, slow down, but slow down and significantly decrease our sending rate. So what do we do when we have a packet loss due to third duplicate ACK? We halve the threshold. The slow start threshold was this level, the level when we switch between these two mechanisms. In both cases, we halve the threshold. In the case of a third duplicate ACK, we set our window, the new value, to the current, or to the new value of the threshold. And then we enter additive increase. So one packet loss is detected. Reduce the window down to the new halved slow start threshold and start increasing slowly again. If we detect a loss due to a timeout, halve the threshold, set the window down to the lowest level. Reduce the sending rate to the lowest possible value. Enter slow start again. This one reduces the window by much more than this one, because we assume a timeout indicates more congestion than a retransmission due to duplicate ACKs. The best illustrated by showing the shape of the window size. This is what it looks like for one example. Everything's okay. We're in slow start phase at the start of our connection. We increase our sending rate rapidly. We reach the threshold, initially 16,000. Additive increase. One packet loss. This packet loss was detected because we received 3 duplicate acknowledgements. Therefore, what we do, we halve the threshold from 16,000 down to 8,000. We set our window, our congestion window, from the current value down to the value of 8,000. And we start sending according to additive increase. So we slowly increase the sending rate again, keep going, receiving ACKs, everything's okay. Another packet loss. This packet loss is due to a timeout. That's an indicator that there's in fact more congestion in the internet, significant congestion. So we halve the threshold. It was 8,000, it's now down to 4,000. And we decrease the congestion window down to the minimum value, which is what we started at, down to here. revert to slow start until we reach the threshold, additive increase, and keep going. If there's another packet lost, then follow those same procedures. So this is how we react differently to two different packet loss events. If we have more packet losses, then of course that will go up and down depending on when they occur. And that brings all those mechanisms together. Slow start phase, additive increase in those two mechanisms, and two different ways to respond to packet losses. Packet loss due to three duplicate acts, packet loss due to a timeout. Make sure you understand those mechanisms and how they relate to each other. Yep. Okay. Yep. So coming back to slow start versus additive increase, why do we have both? Why not just use one all the way? Why not use slow start all the way? The idea is that I start my TCP connection. I have no idea what the capacity of the internet is. So the idea is to start at the minimum value. That is why I start with a maximum or a congestion window of a maximum segment size. So I start slowly. But in most cases, the minimum value is not going to be fast enough. That is, I'll be able to send faster and not cause congestion. So, if I say this is the minimal value of one maximum segment size, I start sending at this rate. There's some optimal rate. There's some rate that I can send at that will not cause congestion. Maybe it's here. I don't know what it is. It's normally greater than the minimal value. So if this is the optimal sending speed, then I would like to reach this optimal sending speed as fast as possible. So that's why we use slow start at the start of our connection. I start slowly, but let's keep probing the network to see what is this optimal rate. Let's double, double again, and again, with the aim of reaching this optimal rate. But if we keep doubling, you could see, maybe we can see what can happen. We double to from 1 to 2, 2 to 4, 4 to 8, 8 to 16. At this point, when we doubled, we've gone much higher than the optimal value. If this, giving a number, was 1, 2, 4, 8, and this up here is 16, and the optimal value was 10, then using this slow start mechanism, we can jump much higher than the optimal value. And that will cause a lot of congestion because it would allow me to send at 16 segments, which is going to cause congestion because the optimal value was just sending 10 segments. So the idea is that we start in this fast manner, but with some guess of what the slow start threshold is, eventually slow down the increasing rate. So we get close to this optimal. We don't jump right above it. Well, essentially that's what we're doing. We're finding the optimal by reaching a point which then causes congestion. When we have congestion, then that's an indicator, okay, the value that we had before that was okay, but increasing it by a small amount was caused congestion. Therefore, we're close to the optimal. But the hard thing is that the optimal rate changes over time. There's no one value. It depends on what everyone else is doing because it depends upon what's happening at all the routers in the internet. So this optimal rate is in fact changing over time. That's what makes it hard.
So a good trade-off is at the start, start quickly, but then slowly increase. And that's why we have the two different mechanisms there. So it's a trade-off between trying to send as much as possible and trying not to send too fast such that we cause congestion. If we didn't use slow start, then if you could imagine how long it would take to reach this point. If we had an additive increase to reach this level, it would take a lot of time to reach that point. So to reach the optimal value would take a lot of time if we didn't use slow start. And that would be wasteful because I'd spend a lot of time not sending at the optimal value and therefore wasting the network resources. So that's the trade-off there. Any other questions on the relationship between these mechanisms? Additive increase, slow start phase, and then packet loss, multiplicative decrease, but two different variations. You should know those four mechanisms. The equations that we use to calculate the window, you don't necessarily have to remember. That is the way that it's not here, but before we went through a calculation of increasing the window every match. That exact equation you don't have to remember, but you need to know the concept. In additive increase by one every round trip time. In slow start, double every round trip time. Packet loss due to three duplicate acts. Halve the threshold, set the window to the new threshold value, additive increase. Time out, halve the threshold, set the window to the minimal value, slow start. So there's a difference between those packet loss mechanisms. And it continues over time. And of course, I'm not sure if we have it, no. This is a plot of the window size. The sending rate is proportional. If you plot the sending rate of my TCP sender, I will get exact same shape, just a different scale here. It'll be on bits per second or kilobytes per second here. So my sending rate, starting slow, rapidly increase, and then reduce my sending rate, increase, reduce, and so on. The idea is so that we don't cause congestion. And every computer using TCP does the same. And this is why it's important for the performance of our internet applications. When you're downloading a file using TCP, the sending rate that the web server is sending to you is determined by the TCP congestion control algorithm. So it may start sending slowly, but it will increase the sending rate so that your download time or your download speed increases over time. So your data transfer speeds using TCP change depending on the congestion control. A problem is if we have a very short connection. Let's say my connection only lasts for two round trip times. I only want to transfer a small amount of data. I send just several segments. Then they're going to be sent quite slowly at the start because we start with a minimal sending rate. So TCP, this mechanism is best suited when we have to transfer a large amount of data. If we want to transfer a small amount of data, it can be inefficient for data transfer. If we have many packet losses, TCP sending rate drops down. As we see, we've got just two packet losses. The sending rate got up to here, but then after time it's down to here. If we have more packet losses, slow start threshold is going to go down, and we're going to maintain a sending rate very low. The more packet losses, the lower your computer sends, or the slower it sends. And that's why sometimes in wireless networks, wireless LANs, where we have many packet losses, or more packet losses than in a wired network, our download speeds can be much lower than in a wired network. Transferring data, say a large DVD across a wireless LAN, having a long TCP connection, if there are many packet losses, your link quality is not so good, the download speed may be quite slow compared to using equivalent wired connection. Packet losses decreases our sending rate, and hence decrease our throughput. I think we've covered that. Let's just finish, summarize on congestion control, and then we'll move on after the break. So TCP congestion control algorithm works well in general in the internet. It's been around for a long time, and it's good at controlling congestion. It's the main thing in the internet. If we did not have these mechanisms, then the internet would not work as it does today, because everyone would send too fast, everyone's packets will be lost, and no one will be able to transmit any useful data. So it avoids congestion collapse. In some networks, when we have losses due to link errors as opposed to due to congestion, it doesn't work so well. That's the example of wireless links. In some wireless links where we have many packet losses, the sending rate will be very low, and that's not so good for our applications. And in some cases of very high-speed networks, greater than 10 gigabits per second, you can also have performance problems. There are only special cases. There are many different versions or variations of TCP. The first standard came out 30 years ago. It only had retransmissions and flow control and setting up connections. Congestion control didn't come out until another 7 years later. And there have been improvements over time, where perhaps one of the more common ones in use today is called TCP New Reno, and that includes the mechanisms that we've gone through. But there are other options available as well. Some operating systems implement variations as well. After the break, I'll show you an example of TCP performance, which will show different variations of the congestion control algorithms. So let's finish there. After the break, we'll show you some examples, some performance of TCP. We'll cover a little bit on fairness. I'll try and bring your exams so you can have a look at your exams after the break as well. And then we'll continue.